What did they put in your coffee? Oh, it was nothing. Oh, okay. All right, you have something you want to share?
Yes.
There we go.
More than one thing that I want to share. But number one, I want to thank God for changing me the way He did last week. Because I was in mourning, I was grieving, I was carrying a weight on my shoulders of the world. I was crying for everything. I had depression, prayed for that to go away. I haven't taken a tablet since. I've given it all to God. But in the meantime, you know, someone likes to interfere. Something likes to interfere. I don't even want to mention the name. It's not worth it. We all know who we're talking about, who I'm talking about. And he brings things into our lives that makes us go down again. Well, let me tell you, last week the Lord lifted me up. He took everything away from me, all my grief, all my mourning, and I am just so much full of joy that I can't stop laughing sometimes. Another thing I want to thank God is for my eldest son hasn't spoken to me for about properly for a good 2 years. A good 2 years. Hey, lovey. Good. Yeah. Wednesday night, he phoned. I picked up the phone and we had a good conversation. And I could feel the love in his heart the way he was talking to me. So I just want to praise God for that. And I give him all the glory. And I thank you guys so much that prayed for me, especially Liam. I always lift everybody up in my prayers as well. And we need to continue to lift up this praise and worship. And this services, lift them up in our prayers daily. But not just lift them up. Fight for our services. Fight for us to have the Holy Spirit with us all the time and reveal to us what is right and what is wrong. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. Well, I must be honest. Yes. I was just going to say, it makes such a nice change not to have you crying at the meeting, but laughing. Amen. Keep up the good work. Praise God. Yeah, God is good. Let me ask you a question. As Christians, do we sometimes go through difficulty? Do we sometimes go through toil and trials and tribulation and problems? Or is that only supposed to hit unbelievers? Is there any scripture in the Bible that says that only the unbeliever or the Gentile or the or whatever has to go through problems? No, there's nothing like that. But you know how amazing God is. You've all heard the scripture before. I quote it a lot because I believe in it and I've seen that it is true. Scripture says our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far greater weight of God's eternal glory. And the next time that you go through a really, really difficult time, I want you to remember what God's word has to say about your life. Your light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for you. And I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way, but a lot of the afflictions that we go through come from Satan himself. She didn't want to say the name. I'm not afraid of the name because the name is under my feet. Amen. The afflictions that come from Satan, because God is always in charge, God is sovereign, God is almighty and all-powerful, God uses even that to push you forward. Amen? When the devil thinks he's got you down, when the devil is all excited and all happy that, yeah, he's won and he's conquered and yeah, look at how much drama he's giving you in your life, God just sits back and smiles and says, "Muni warini watch net." Because God is about to do something amazing. God is about to do something wonderful, even out of what Satan is planning for your demise and your destruction. You know, the scripture says that if Satan knew the result of the crucifixion, he would never have crucified the Lord of glory. Satan was convinced when he had Jesus nailed to that cross and he heard the last breath come out of his mouth and Jesus said, "It is finished." You know that you know that you know that every devil, every demon, every evil spirit, every principality and every power was shouting for joy because they believed that they had conquered. But in what they believed to be their greatest victory lay their biggest defeat. Because God sent Jesus to die. And that's something Satan never knew, couldn't comprehend, would never understand. And he never knew that he was simply a pawn in God's mighty hand. So the next time you go through trials, the next time you go through tribulations, the next time you go through problems, when that thing begins to speak to you and it says to you, "Ach, you know what, why don't you just give up on your life? Nothing is going to get any better. This is just the way it is. Just turn your back on God. Why you want to go to church?" When that thing begins to talk to you, I want you to dig deep, smile at the devil and say, "Muniwarini, watch net." Because God is about to do something amazing. Amen. Praise God. We're busy speaking on the Holy Spirit. And today I want to share with you a couple of the things that the Holy Spirit does in our lives and what God allows Him to do in our lives. And the first thing that I want to share with you comes from the book of Romans chapter 5. And I'm reading from verse 3 to verse 5. "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings." Did you hear that? Now that's an alien concept for most of us. Luisinha, when was the last time you rejoiced in your suffering? A while ago. You're always rejoicing. Ah, well, praise God for that. Listen to what the scripture says. "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know." Listen to why he says we must rejoice in our sufferings. Can you rejoice in your suffering? Why not? Say again. You can. So can you. So can you if you understand why it is there. Amen? Listen to this. "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know," listen carefully, "that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom God has given us." Today, if you can understand this scripture, you will understand a lot of things in your life. And a lot of things will be easier for you to handle. So I want you to listen very carefully. In fact, I want you to record this message. You know how to record, right? Now, don't stress. It's going to be fine. You don't know how to record. Take your left index finger. Take your left index finger. Push it in your right ear. Your right ear. Turn it anti-clockwise and the record button is on. And then you remember the whole sermon. Okay. Romans chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom God has given us." To rejoice in our sufferings for us is a really weird concept. It's something that we battle to wrap our minds and our heads around it, and it seems slightly unnatural for us. It's like somebody just drove into your car, you jump out and you shout hallelujah, praise God. You know, that's going to be quite a stretch. Amen. Your child just took the whole tray of eggs out the freezer and dropped it, and they're all over the kitchen floor, and you're already late to get to school, and you start jumping up and down praising God, shouting hallelujah. Amen. You wake up in the morning and somebody left the courtyard open, the dog got into all the refuse bags, and you've got 2 weeks of refuse all over your front lawn. And you're supposed to be in church in 5 minutes. And you stop everything, you go down on your knees and you shout, "Hallelujah, praise God." Yeah. It's a challenge. Amen. In reality, the average person does anything but rejoice in a time of suffering. You know what? Certain people in this place, probably myself included, when they get out there and there's 2 weeks of refuse, might need prayer at church because of what came out of our mouth. And the dog might need TLC because half its ribs have been kicked off, you know? So, apparently we are wrong. Apparently we need to change our attitude. Rather, we complain, we get angry, we lose hope, we blame God, we threaten to stop serving God, we get upset, we are disappointed, we start suffering from depression, etc., etc. How many of you would like to have a nicely conditioned body? How many of you would like to look like a 10? It's too thick. How do you know what a 10? No, man, a 10 is nice. It's good. How many of you would like to have a nice looking body? Okay, wave at me. All right, we're starting gym, yeah, next week. I'll see you. No, I'm only joking. I'm only joking. Okay, probably we all want a nice body. But you know what? I think by now most of us have figured out that in order for you to get a nice body, you actually have to do something about it. You can't keep imagining it. You know, positive thinking really doesn't go all that far. You can imagine yourself in a nice body all the time, but when you look in the mirror, you won't manifest that until you actually do something about it. And you know what? It's called hard work. Raise your hands if you are allergic to hard work. And all the lying spirits are just looking at me now. I see there's a lot of people that need prayer in this place today. I'm so glad you came to church. I'm going to pray for you about that later. Yeah, you laughing because you didn't raise your hand. Yes, yeah, I know. That's okay. The spirit of joy is upon you today. It's fine. Now we started something. Well, I'm glad she's laughing and not crying. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. And I actually see her husband has got a smile on his face today. Amen. Yeah, she's different, isn't she? Yeah, God is good. Praise God for that. Okay, so now, regardless of how we feel about it, whether we like it or we don't like it, the fact of the matter is, especially when it comes to your body, you need to work hard. You need to be disciplined. You need to be committed. You need to persevere in order to get the body that you probably want. If you don't do it, it's just not going to happen. It doesn't, boom, happen like that. And hard work, especially in the gym, equals suffering. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger used to say, no pain, no gain. But why are we suffering? Are we suffering just for the sake of suffering so that we can damage or hurt ourselves? No, we're suffering because we know that a bit of suffering now means great gain later. And that's the way we do things. So the suffering you're going through will not kill you. In fact, it turns out that when you work hard on your body, it is actually very, very good for you. And I think by now most of us have figured out that there are no quick fixes out there. There's some pills that you can pop and they might change you for a short period of time, but they have defects, they don't work, they are not lasting. In the end, it takes a lifestyle, it takes commitment, it takes dedication. Most people that work hard and suffer through exercise do it because they want to reach a goal. Some of them, the goal that they want to reach is a nice body. Some of them, the goal that they want to reach is they want to impress somebody. They want to impress a girl somewhere, or they want to impress a boy somewhere. Some of them want to win a medal. You know what? If you go to the Olympics, you go to the Olympics because you are committed, because you are dedicated, because you work hard, because you go through the motions to change your body, to become stronger, to become leaner, to become fitter. And it doesn't come easy. It takes hard work, it takes commitment, it takes dedication. In the same way, Christian suffering also has a purpose. And if we can understand the purpose of Christian suffering, it will help make it a lot more bearable. And we will not feel so bad about it when it starts happening in our life. So the goal of suffering, if you listen to the scripture that I shared with you earlier, the goal of suffering is to get you to a place of perseverance. Does somebody that has everything going right for them right now need perseverance? You don't need perseverance when things go well. Then you just ride the crest of the wave. And it's easy. You need perseverance when the pawpaw hit the fan, somebody pulled the carpet out from under you, the wheels came off. That's when you need perseverance, because perseverance is that thing that gets you to dig deep and say, I'm not giving up. I will not stop. You know the devil, when things go wrong, and I want you to listen to me carefully. You've all heard that voice, because he's very quick to speak to us when the pawpaw hits the fan. He's very quick to speak to us when somebody really disappointed us. He's very quick to speak to us when financial problems abound in your life. And he says to you, why don't you just give up? Go back to the way you used to do things. Probably then everything is going to be okay. But you should not listen to that voice, because that voice is trying to stop you from doing the one thing God wants to see in your life. God wants to see if you have the ability to persevere. And Satan knows that perseverance is going to bring forth other things in your life that will cause you to conquer him in a very big way. And his way to stop it is to get you to stop. Look at your neighbor and say, I will not stop. I am going to persevere. Look at your neighbor and say, I praise God for the trials and the tribulation and the problems and the issues and my mother-in-law. You don't have one. Are you blessed or what? And I bless all the mother-in-laws here. But you praise God. Why? Because God is giving you the opportunity to do what? The opportunity to do what? To persevere. Because you see, perseverance will lead to other things that are necessary to get you to the place of hope, that is necessary to get you to the place of defeat, defeating the enemy, rising above the storm. If everything in your life is perfect, there will never be the temptation to give up. And if there is not the temptation to give up, you can't dig deep and say, I won't. I persevere. And you see, this is one thing that God wants to see in every one of his children. God needs to see perseverance, because it's only when you show God perseverance that he says, now it's time for me to increase certain things in your life. You need to show God perseverance. The devil doesn't want you to show God perseverance, because he doesn't like what's going to come further down the line when you persevere. It's only when you begin to conquer this temptation, the temptation to quit, the temptation to give up, the temptation to turn your back on God, that you start succeeding in what the Bible calls perseverance. I want to give you an example. Let's say there were two men. One's name is John and the one's name is Jack. John has a very big house. He has a very fast car. He has a beautiful wife. He is healthy. He has a massive, big, fat bank balance. He is handsome. He is clever. Everybody looks up to him. He has a big business, and everything seems to be going well for him. And then on the other side of the dorpie, there, what we call the onderdorp, we have a man by the name of Jack. Jack lost his job. He's on the verge of losing his house. His wife can't stand him. In fact, she doesn't even sleep in the same room as him. His children want nothing to do with him. His car's broken down 5 times in the last month. He doesn't even have the money to fix it. Even his dogs don't like him. In fact, they bite him every now and then because it's the only food that they get. Now I want to ask you a question. Which one of these two men will be tempted by Satan to give up on life? Well, Jack is going to be tempted to turn his back on God, to renounce God, to blaspheme God, to quit, because it's not going to work for John, because John is doing fine right now. The temptation is going to come in the hour of trial and tribulation. The temptation does not come any other time. So only Jack is in a place where he can prove to God that he has perseverance. John cannot prove to God anything right now. And every one of us needs to get to the place that we prove to God that we have perseverance. The word that is used, that is translated as character, is the Greek word dokime, which basically means to prove yourself through going through trials, tribulations, and testing. I want you to listen to that. You know, a lot of us, we want character. We want godly character. Is there anybody here that would like to have godly character? Now listen to me. The Greek word pretty much means that you have proved to God by going through trials and tribulations and tests that you have the ability to persevere. You cannot have godly character. You cannot build godly character in times when everything goes well. You build the godly character in times of testing, in times of trouble, in times of turmoil. Do you remember when you were in matric? For some of you, that's like a really big stretch. For some of you, that was like yesterday, like Matthew. Do you remember when you were in matric? Do you remember the final exams? I can tell you one thing. I had tertiary studies. I studied engineering. And not one of the exams that I had to write when I was studying engineering put as much stress and pressure on me as the final exams when I wrote my matric finals. I don't know if you experienced it the same way, but that anxiety, that worry, that stress, all of that type of stuff, it was something, it was a horrible thing to go through. The purpose of that exam, however, was not to destroy you. The purpose of that exam was for you to prove that you've actually learned something. It was for you to prove to the government that they should allow you to move out of school and that you are ready to start your adult life. And when you passed, it opened doors for you that you never, ever could imagine. Because people pass matric, they can study to become a doctor. Because people pass matric, they can study to become a lawyer, or they can become a pastor, or whatever. But you know what? A lot of things in this world are not available to you if you did not go through that difficult time of your life. And you know what? Sometimes when we are in that time, we see it as a curse. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe this. This is not good. Oh, I wish I wasn't exposed to this. I wish I didn't have to go through this. But once you are through it, you sit with that big fat smile. And it's like the world is your oyster. And you have all these choices that you can, I can do this, I can do that. I can study, I can go overseas, I can do all sorts of things. No trial, no tribulation is nice when you go through it. But later, when you look back, you can often see why God took you through it. If you failed that matric exam, you had a big problem, because even though you had worked hard for 12 years to get to that point, you would have nothing to show for it. If you had given up, if you were in the middle of that matric exam and you said to yourself, you know what, I don't feel like studying, I don't feel like working, I don't feel like being disciplined, I don't feel like getting up early, I don't feel like working till late at night, it's way too much turmoil, it's way too much trouble, you could make that decision and you could quit. But you would not get that certificate that opens up adult life to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the ones that quit have nothing to show. The ones that persevere have a lot to show. In the end, what does God want from us? He wants perseverance. Why? Because perseverance brings forth godly character. And without godly character, God cannot use you, and God will not bless you. God wants us to have that godly character. When we pass the trial of matric, it immediately opens doors for us. It offers new opportunities for us. Hebrews 12 verse 11 says, "No discipline seems pleasant at the time." Is that right? Going through difficulty, going through pressure, at the time we complain, we moan, oh, this is not good, this is not right. No discipline seems good and pleasant at the time, but painful. Later, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Do you want peace? Wave at me. Keep your hand in there. Listen to this. Keep your hand in there. Don't drop your hand. Show God you want it. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest. In other words, the hard work we go through, the fact that we in Afrikaans het ons hierdie ding ons noem het vasbyt. I don't know if there's like an English way of saying it. Is there anybody here that knows how to say that in English? Fussbait. It's like you dig deep and you say, you will not move me. I'm not going backwards. I'm going forwards. It's like that inner strength, that inner will that says, I will fight to the end, but I am not going down. It's like they say, go big or go home. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going big. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't know what it means, maar ek gaan vasbyt. There we go. Yeah, I'm speaking to the English people. Yeah, they don't know what it means. Okay. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. But later on, however, it produces a harvest. Listen to me. This is very important. God says the problems that you're facing right now, the pressure that's on your life right now, the heaviness that surrounds you right now, that voice that says to you, give up, give up, give up, is producing a harvest. The fact that you are resisting, the fact that you refuse to give up, the fact that you get up and you force yourself to go on is going to produce a harvest. Right now, you are sowing for something big to come just around the corner. It's called the harvest, and the harvest will produce. I asked you, who wants peace? Look at this. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. Now, I know you never looked at it like that before, but it is impossible for us to have peace until we get to a place of perseverance. Because the harvest of peace comes from perseverance, and you only persevere in times of trouble. You do not persevere in the good times. In the good times, you ride the wave and you have fun. And God will, and I want you to listen to me now. You know, a lot of people have this thing like, oh, I'm a child of God. I shouldn't go through problems. Oh, God should look after me. Oh, God should make sure that everything is fine. Then God is working against you, not for you. Because God knows you cannot get righteousness, you cannot get peace, and you will not have victory until you get to a place that you persevere. So many times when the devil wants to give you a hard time, God says, yeah, sure, go for it. Not because God wants Satan to destroy you, but God is giving you the opportunity to persevere. That's why the Bible says our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. I want you to say the following, devil, you're working for me. There we go. Oh, he is working for you. He might not understand it. He might not be able to figure it out. And I want to tell you something. You know what? I'm not the devil himself, but I would venture to say that he probably many times looks at some of these people that he did everything to destroy, and he cannot figure out how they got to that high height. He probably says to, you know, he's got a couple of big demons around him, Leviathan, Jezebel, Abaddon, Apollyon, all these big chochos. And probably every now and then they sit together and they have a conference, and he's like, oh, you know that Fatima. You know, I don't understand. I do everything I can to destroy this woman, and I put so much pressure on her. I bring all these trials and tribulations. Calamity strikes her all the time. And this woman just keeps going forward. And God just keeps blessing her. And you know that guy, Eddie. You know, we turn everybody against him. We give him grief at work. We give him problems. He has issues at home. And he has all these things going on in his life. And many times he doesn't know what to do. But for some reason he keeps going. And we can't understand. But he's always blessed. How the hell does that work? Can somebody educate me? And then when Leviathan takes a bit too long to answer, it's like, you're useless. Bring me another one. Yes. There we go. Yeah, Eddie is right. The devil's working for us and we don't even have to pay him. Yeah. In other words, the devil is your slave. Well, praise God. Get under my feet, slave. There we go. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, did you hear that? Later on. In other words, right now you are in the place of turmoil. You can't see it. But later on, tomorrow, the day after, next week, it's going to come. But later on, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Affliction is one of the tools that God uses to train us for the next level that is waiting for us just around the corner. Without adequate training, nobody will be successful at anything. And that you must understand. Whether you're doing a job, whether you're doing a sport, whether you're teaching children, it doesn't matter what you do, unless you have been trained and you qualify through training, you will be useless and you will suck at whatever you're trying to do. And it's the same with life. Right now, the problems that you face, the difficulties that's upon you, the heaviness that surrounds you is training you for life. Because life tomorrow is going to be very different from what it is today. And God is preparing you for the things that are coming. God wants you to be ready so that when the blessings come down, you don't mess it up. You have been trained. You are ready. You will go. Just like somebody who might fail matric, so people who go to church, they pray, they tithe, they do good things, etc., but they fail the test of affliction. In other words, you can have somebody that's been in the church for a couple of years, 5, 10, 15 years, and then they go through a difficult time in their life and they say, oh, well, you know what, I've had it. I don't have to put up with this. God's promise in His Word is He'll be there for me, and I don't see God anywhere. And why should I go to church? Why should I honor God? Why should I follow a God like that? I'm quitting. Just like the person that quit matric and they have nothing to show for it. Your 5 years, 10 years, 15 years in church will help you nothing. If you quit running the race, what God wants from you is perseverance. Dig deep, roll with the punches. Are we going to fall now and then? Yes, you will. That's a guarantee. But the Bible says, when the righteous man falls, yet 7 times the Lord will raise him up. If your heart is right and God can see that you want to persevere, God Himself will help you and pick you up so that you could go forward. Because God is for you, not against you. God is rooting for you on the sidelines. There's many angels saying, come on, get up, you have to go. Your future is bright. There's amazing things for you. You don't have to give up right now. It's not just the devil that speaks to us. God speaks to us too. The angels of God speaks to us too. The devil wants you to stop. God wants you to go. The devil wants you to quit. God wants you to go to a place of victory. Which voice should you listen to? Listen to the voice of God. Now, character, which comes from affliction and suffering and perseverance, which eventually becomes character, leads to hope. I'm going to say that again. Character leads to hope. And what is character? Character is what is produced in us when we go through affliction, we go through suffering, we go through trial, we go through tribulation, we refuse to give up, we will not turn our backs on God, we keep going forward. That is called character. And without character, you cannot have hope. Amen? Character leads to hope. True hope can never come because of what others say. Listen here. If I come and I pat her on the head and I say to her, oh, listen, yeah, don't worry. Everything is going to be okay. It'll make her feel better for 5 minutes. But when she gets home and she's confronted with the same problems, it's like, ugh. You know what? She's going to start falling apart again. So where must hope come from? Look at your neighbor and say, from your heart. If hope hasn't found its way into your heart, you have no hope. And how does hope find its way into your heart? When you conquer trials, you conquer tribulations, you show God perseverance, which leads to character, and character produces hope. Amen? Everybody in this place can have hope in their hearts if you fuss bait. You remember what fuss bait means? When you say to the devil, I will not quit. When your attitude to Satan is, you know what, things might be tough right now, but tomorrow is different. And when the devil says to you, oh, tomorrow I'm going to destroy you, you say to the devil, shut up, man, you don't even know the future. You want to come and lie to me? Futsak, there's the door. Just get out of here. Just, I'm not listening to you. I'm going forward. What's so funny? Now and then she just bubbles over. Well, bless God, she's happy. Praise God. So true hope will never come from what others say. True hope must live within you. And once again, it is the product of suffering, which leads to perseverance, which leads to character, which produces hope. Someone without this true hope will always view life as hopeless, no matter what you say or how hard you try to encourage them. Someone filled with true hope, on the other hand, will always have hope. no matter how bad things may seem. Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says, "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us." Did you hear that? Listen carefully. Hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. So what He is really saying here, listen carefully, is that as we begin to understand how God works in our life, and as we begin to apply this cycle, we have victory in the cycle of suffering leading to perseverance, leading to character, eventually bringing about hope. The Holy Spirit also begins to do something wonderful in our hearts. The further we go down that path, the more we conquer, the more we persevere, the more we develop character, the more the love of God is poured out in our hearts. Let's talk a bit about love. Do you remember when you just met your husband? Do you remember all the bells and whistles? Okay, I asked the wrong person here. I'm just going to move away. Do you remember when you just met your husband? I hope you heard bells and whistles. And I'm not talking about that night when you were drunk as a skunk. Okay, I'm talking about when you saw him. Georgie, we have it on tape. She was all excited about you. Yeah, that's it. Bells and whistles. I think everybody can relate to that. When you are in love, life looks different. You take somebody that's in love and you tell them, "Oh, somebody just totaled your car." Really? It's okay, I have a date later, you know. It's like, you take somebody that's not in love, you tell them, "Hey, somebody just totaled your car." What? Baseball bat. When you are in love, when there is love in your heart, this is what I'm getting at. When there is love in your heart, life looks different. Love is like a rose-colored glasses. The problem doesn't look as big. Probably that's the glasses you need in your life right now. When you are in love, you experience things easier, better. You are happier. You are joyful. You are content. You are excited. You are enthusiastic. I can add a lot of words to that, but the fact is, when you are in love, your life is fine. Everything is okay. You have hope for tomorrow because love is in your heart. Now, what did the Bible say there? When we allow God to take us down the process of trials and tribulations, which allows us to persevere, which in turn creates character to build in our hearts, which in turn allows hope to manifest in our hearts, which then brings the love of God through the Holy Spirit to be poured out in our lives, we have more love. Life looks better. Do you understand where I'm going with this? A lot of us want the love of God. But the love of God, from this point of view, gets stronger and stronger and stronger the more we conquer. Because the Holy Spirit works with us in this process. The next time you experience really difficult things, I want you to remember that this is an opportunity for you to receive more of the love of God, which is going to change you. Love can change anybody. You have a hard heart. Let me tell you something. When love comes into your heart will melt like wax. You have a lot of attitude. Love comes into your heart. You're going to be the nicest guy ever. Why? Because love changes people. It's just the way it is. You, if you think back to when you loved somebody, you really fell in love, your life was good. Now I want to ask you a question. If God's love is for free, it's for mahala, and He wants to pour it out in your heart, can you give me one good reason why you can't have a lot more love in your heart? No, you can't. Can I tell you why some people don't have the love of God in their hearts? Because they will not persevere. Because when the problems come, the trials come, the tribulations come, they turn against God instead of allowing God to work with them and change them. Your problems are sent to change you. Listen to me. God sends your problems to change you, not to destroy you. But if you work against Him, you will never change. When you let Him work with you, you will change. Because the problems gives you the ability to persevere, which brings character, which brings hope, which pours out love, which changes you. I want to ask a question. And I want you to be very brutally honest now. How many of you in this place would agree with me that there are things in your life that has to change? Now wait, before you raise your hands, I'm going to give you some examples. Some of us, we have really bad tempers. We need to change. Some of us, we sulk about everything. We have to change. Some of us, we get upset all the time. We have to change. Some of us, we doubt a lot. We have to change. Some of us, give me something else. Have a lot of fear. Some of us, we have a lot of rejection. Some of us, we have a lot of jealousy. We don't want other people to succeed because, oh, it should be us. Can anybody relate to that? Who of you needs change? Then you need more of the love of God. And where are you going to get the love of God? It comes in the process of conquering trials and tribulations. That doesn't mean that there's not love available to you right now. But when you begin to conquer the trials and the tribulations and hope begins to well up in your heart, that's where the Holy Spirit works, in your heart. And that's what changes you. For God to change you, He has to change you from inside of your heart. Amen. So the next time you are confronted with big problems, the next time there is something that is so big that the voice keeps screaming at you to stop and not go to church again and just be angry with God and just push everybody out of your life, what should you do? You should do the opposite. Because the only way, God is giving you an opportunity to change. And from what I saw, yeah, everybody here raised their hands. Just raise your hands again. Who believes you need to change in some area? So here's what's going to happen. God is going to bring things into your life that will give you the opportunity to change, because love changes everything. If I could sing now, I would be like, love, love changes everything. But I can't sing, so I won't. But that's a biblical thing. You know, the scripture says, true love casteth out all fear. In other words, true love casts out all fear. In other words, love changes fear into boldness. Amen? If love can change fear into boldness, then love can change rejection into acceptance. Then love can change debt into prosperity. Amen? What do we need more of? We need more of God's love. All you need is love. Da, 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 da. There we go. Yes, all we need is love. All we need is love. So, Acts chapter 9, verse 31. The church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. When we are suffering and temptation is strong to give up, the Holy Spirit will work in our lives and through people to encourage us to continue. You know what? The Holy Spirit is our helper. And when we go through a lot of problems, and you should pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. When you feel that you are battling, when you feel that you are sinking, when you feel like the pit wants to suck you in, and you feel that rebellion coming to you because you've got so much problems, who should you ask to help you? The Holy Spirit. Listen to again. The church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. The next time you go through a really difficult time, work on your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Ask Him for His help. Ask Him to strengthen you. Ask Him for the spirit of encouragement to come upon you. And as you read the Word of God or you meditate on Scripture, something inside of you will begin to change. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Did you hear that? Who helps us in our weakness? It's the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. Every single one of you here has some weakness in your life somewhere. That's why you battle sometimes. But God has this amazing ability to turn your weakness into strength. But He does so through the Holy Spirit. And that's why the Holy Spirit must be a reality in our life. We must allow Him to work in our life. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Without the Holy Spirit, your life is not going to go very far, because he's the one that helps us in that process. He's the one that enables us to live our life to the full and have victory. There's quite a lot more here, but I'm going to stop there for today. I want to leave this thought with you. The next time you have a big problem that presents itself, and you turn around and you say, "Oh, look at this, this is a curse." It's not a curse, it's a blessing. Why? Why? Because God is giving you the opportunity to prove that you can persevere. God is giving you the opportunity to stare the adversity in its face and say, "I don't care. I'm still going forward." God is giving you the opportunity to hear the spirit of the Antichrist talk to you and say, "Turn your back on God." And you're going to say to him, "Shut up and futsak. Me and God, we are inseparable." You know, in Afrikaans, the Afrikaanse vertaling say, "Met my God loop ek 'n bende storm, met my God spring ek oor 'n muur." I can't remember how the English says that, but if I directly translate it, it says, "With my God, I will take on an army. With my God, I will jump over a wall." I know I have problems, devil. You don't have to remind me. I'm not stupid. I can see it. But I will not give up because of my problems, because God is for me, not against me. And even though today I can't see how I'm going to get through it, tomorrow I'll tell you how I got through it, because God is going to allow me to go. And I will persevere. Amen. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Did anybody learn something today? Give the Lord a big hand. I want to end off by asking this question. How many of you have got big problems in your life right now? Wave at me. Okay, not anymore. Okay, you don't have problems right now, so you don't have to persevere. But every... Say again? We'll check on that later. Wave your hands at me if you have some big problems in your life right now. Please, come, do it. Is that a curse in your life? It's a blessing. So here's what we're going to do. Raise your hands. Let's shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Why? Because we realize that these problems are not allowed by God to destroy us, but these problems are given by God to help us to get out of the pit, to change our life, to give us perseverance, to build character, to release hope, and to release the love of God, which will change us. We all have to change somewhere. This is how God changes you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Yes.